Welcome to the Covenant People's Ministry. It is written that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We invite you to study the scriptures with us to learn about the words of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Our pastor is Mr. Jeremy Visser from Brooks, Georgia. You can contact us with your questions and comments at covenantpeoplesministry.com or simply write to Covenant People's Ministry, Post Office Box 256, Brooks, Georgia, 30205. Our phone number is 404-906-9009. We would like to hear from you, and we pray in the name of Jesus Christ that His will continue to reign upon us all. Once again, welcome to the Covenant People's Ministry, and here's Pastor Visser with our next Bible study.
Hello, this is Pastor Visser, and the topic is the Gospel of John. Let's continue our study. So Nicodemus, that is a Pharisee, knew that Jesus Christ had come from God. Why? Because no man could do the miracles without the power of God. They cannot turn water into wine, but they want to be worshipped as a god. So the same false prophets who want you to do them homage as opposed to Jesus Christ, can they turn water into wine? Can they grant you life? Can they take your life? That is, think you out of existence? No, dear brothers and sisters, they cannot. But they desire to be seen as a god. But not all of the Pharisees were bad. Indeed, the Pharisees, that is, the sect of the Pharisees, would continually badger John and Jesus Christ. They would continually question them, attempting to catch them in a trap. But that's not to say that all Pharisees were bad, for we have Nicodemus. And Nicodemus, alongside Joseph of Arimathea, tended to the dead body of Jesus Christ after the resurrection. He went on to become a saint. He went on to become a true believer. But at the time when Jesus Christ walked, Nicodemus had to go by night, as if he were a criminal, to go and see Jesus Christ and tell him, "We know. There are some of us within the sect of the Pharisees who know you are a teacher from God because of the miracles you've done, because you have turned 162 gallons of water into top-notch wine, because you have rebuked the scribes and the Pharisees out of the main temple of Jerusalem, because you teach true and fulfill prophecy." Nicodemus knew this. And how does Jesus answer him? What does he say to Nicodemus the Pharisee? Verse 3. Jesus answered and said unto him, that is, Nicodemus, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So Jesus tells Nicodemus, truly, truly, no truer a statement can be made. "I will tell you, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Period. Nicodemus will not understand this, just as man today does not understand this, for they do not understand, for they are not familiar with the word enough to know that Jesus Christ fulfilled all these prophecies. For if they were familiar with the word of God that they themselves profess to teach, that is, the Pharisees, they would know that Jonah was just a foreshadowing of Jesus. They would know that the law was just a foreshadowing of Jesus. They would know that the entire Old Testament narrative is a history of Israel's people looking forward to the coming Redeemer, looking forward to the coming Messiah. Thus those Pharisees who did not believe, unlike Nicodemus, the Pharisees who continually badgered Jesus Christ and in the end handed him over to the Roman government to be murdered as an innocent man, dear brothers and sisters, were deniers. They were not familiar with the Word of God. They were church actors. They're hypocrites. They would play church indeed. They had a good game, and they probably had eloquent delivery in many of the things that they were teaching, but they were not scriptural. So what did it profit any man? Deep within the heart of Nicodemus, he had a desire to serve that which was moral, that which was good. He knew he was not finding this amongst the sects of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, for they would sit in the temple and debate back and forth all day. Oh, indeed, some would say there is no resurrection, some would say there was no hereafter, some would say there was no devil, and others would say there was no angel. But the irony behind these two sects, that is the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who would sit in the main temple of Jerusalem debating this time and time again, was that these words were transcribed forever anyway. They were right there within the parchments and the scrolls that they professed to teach. But they were not given eyes to see by Jesus Christ. It must needs be this way, so that he can call the poor and the meek of the earth. Not the rich, not the great, not those whom man considers a great teacher. For dear brothers and sisters, look at the world today. Do you honestly think that many of these false prophets who are leading people down the primrose path into hell, leading them into apostasy, leading them away from the law of God, do you feel that they will make it in judgment, dear brothers and sisters? Well, we should understand that Yahweh God is judge, but Yahweh also judges according to his word of God, giving us blessed assurance within the process. For we can and should know the outcome. It's straightforwardly charged. That's not to say that we know. That's not to say that we are the judge. But we already know who is outside the gate in the book of Revelation. And it is the murderers, the whoremongers, the adulterers, whosoever loveth and maketh a lie, meaning everyone who is sentenced to death according to Yahweh's Old Testament law anyway. They're out there. And that's a second witness for you to follow the law. Read Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse 17, and understand that there are many out there who are today's modern interpretations of the Pharisees, of the Sadducees, who spend a majority of their time dismissing the Word of God. So Jesus' answer to Nicodemus is, you cannot see the kingdom of God unless you be born again. Next verse. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? The question. Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Another question. So this is the teaching of natural man, and it's the thought pattern of natural man. If you were to tell them, dear brothers and sisters, that the only way they can see the kingdom of God is by being born again, that is, baptism, they would answer most oftentimes along these same lines. How can a man be born when he's old? I'm in my 50s. I'm in my 60s, and my mother is long dead. Are you saying that I must climb back into my mother's womb to be born again to see the kingdom of heaven? For again, Nicodemus should have been familiar with the story of Jonah, should have been familiar with the sacrifice that Abraham made in Isaac and the atoning sacrifice that Yahweh had given, meaning that all the narratives of the Old Testament again are foreshadowing the coming Jesus Christ. But baptism was a relatively new concept, at least to the Pharisees. And this is why he asks this. So Jesus will tell Nicodemus. He will explain the necessity of the new birth. And he will illustrate it so that you today and this latter day will understand. Verse 5. Jesus answered, that is, Nicodemus, saying, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And so naturally the way of the false prophet is to come along and say, well, a man's to be born of water, which is the water of the womb and the Spirit. He cannot enter into the kingdom of God. But that is not what he's saying, dear brothers and sisters, for Nicodemus had already been born. And this was the answer Jesus was giving Nicodemus. Unless you be born of the water and the Spirit, you shall not see the kingdom of heaven. Now, if being born of water meant being born from your mother's womb, and this is merely when a woman's water breaks during labor, dear brothers and sisters, then why would he say to Nicodemus, you cannot see the kingdom of heaven unless you be born of the water and the Spirit? Well, it's a straightforward teaching, dear brothers and sisters, and it's covered in all four Gospels. And I've covered it in part 2 and part 3 of this series, dear brothers and sisters. The gift of the Holy Spirit, that is, being born of the Spirit, is only imparted at baptism, at water baptism. This is the reason why when Jesus was baptized, he straightforwardly went out to be tempted of the devil, because he was imparted with the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thus it is the same way today, dear brothers and sisters. So analyze Jesus' statement. Analyze his answer to Nicodemus. Except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So in essence, be baptized for the gift of the Holy Spirit to enter the kingdom of God. For again, it was Jesus Christ who straightforwardly said, whosoever believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but whosoever believeth not shall be damned. Why? Because they didn't believe enough to be baptized. They didn't go to be born of the water and the Spirit. Therefore, they do not enter the kingdom of God. It's straightforward, but man will make it complex time and time again. Next verse. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So here's the difference between the two terms. That which is born of flesh is flesh. Well, Nicodemus had already been born of the flesh. He'd already been born of the quote-unquote womb waters. But Jesus continues to illustrate this concept. And what does he say? That which is born of flesh is flesh. Meaning the natural man will remain natural until he is imparted with the gift of the Holy Spirit. That is, at baptism. And to further differentiate flesh from spirit, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So there's a difference between the flesh of man and the spirit of man. They're two entirely different cavities. The way of natural man is to seek to find his life, to save his life. But he'll lose it in the process. Because the teaching is, dear kinsfolk, that the natural, that is the flesh man, does not inherit the kingdom of God. Only the spiritual man. Only he who dwells within the Holy Spirit. Yet Christ continues. After he differentiates the difference between flesh and spirit, he continues in the next verse. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Don't marvel. There's no great mystery behind this teaching. Don't be confused, and I tell you, dear brothers and sisters out there listening today, don't be confused because Jesus Christ straightforwardly told Nicodemus that you must be born again. It's the way of man to say, what are you talking about? Be born again? I'm already born. Or, it's also the way of man to say, oh, well, Pastor Visser is telling us to be born again Christians and to downplay the concept because the enemies of Christ have already defiled these concepts in the first place. Being born again is not a bad thing. It is an act of submission to Yahweh God. It is proving that we accept Jesus Christ as our King and as our God. But it's so much more than just that. Again, whosoever believeth and is baptized is saved. No one else. So don't marvel that Jesus taught you must be born again. Next verse. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh. And everywhither it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. And so it's the same way in the spiritual realm. Man can sit here and see the trees move. We can hear the wind blow. But what man cannot do is see the wind. Indeed, they cannot see the oxygen itself moving around. But they can hear it. Meaning that man hears wind, so he knows that wind is there. But man is so foolish that if he did not hear the wind, and he could not see the wind, he would come along and debate that wind does not exist. He would come along and tell you that wind is not wind at all. It merely is just air moving around, or whatever the way of man is. They will debate, they will bicker, they will argue, and they will downplay. But Jesus' teaching here is that you cannot see it. You cannot tell where the wind comes and where it goes. And so it's the same exact way with everyone who was born of the Spirit. What does this say? This says that those who are born of the Spirit recognize those who are also in the same Spirit. And it also means that those who are imparted with the gift of the Holy Spirit know those whom are not. This is why Jesus Christ could tell Nathanael, you are an Israelite, in whom is no guile. Because it was like the wind. Us as man, us as people, could see Nathanael and just say, oh, he's just another white kid. Like myself. Indeed, we could say that. But the reality is that Jesus could see through the flesh. He could see into the hearts and minds of his beloved people. So much so that he could tell Thomas and tell Matthias and tell a majority of his disciples like Nathanael, I knew you before I even chose you. Like the prophet Jeremiah. Before I even formed thee. Before I even placed thee in the womb. I knew you. This ties all the way back to the first earth age, before the catabol, before the falling of Satan, your brothers and sisters. Jesus Christ knows all things that are of the Spirit, because Jesus Christ is the Holy Spirit. And Jesus Christ knows his own. Jesus Christ calls his own. And so today, dear brothers and sisters, let's not fall into the same trap. Let's hearken unto every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, and not fall into the traditions of man. It falls upon you, and the burden of responsibility is on you, to prove to God, or to prove to man for that matter, what it is that you believe. And you had best believe in something that aligns with the Word of God. Because if you come along in judgment and try to tell Yahweh, well, things were different to me. I was above the law. I did not have to adhere, as you had said. I assure you, dear brothers and sisters, that you will most likely not enter into the kingdom. Only those who are faithful servants, who obey, and are obedient, will enter into the kingdom of God. So Jesus it was who taught that everyone who is born of the Spirit is born of the Spirit. But this quote-unquote new birth that Jesus Christ is speaking of, being born again, is still a mystery to Nicodemus. Next verse. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, that is, Jesus, how can these things be? Question. So after Jesus Christ explains that the Spirit is attributed to the wind and that those in the Spirit can recognize one another, more or less, Nicodemus still has problems with the teaching. This quote-unquote new birth is still a mystery to him. But how does Jesus answer Nicodemus? What does he say? Verse 10. Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Question. So Jesus more marvels in the fact that Nicodemus was considered an elder, worked within the temple of Jerusalem, and argued with the scribes and the Pharisees day in and day out. You don't understand this, Nicodemus. How can this be? You're supposed to be a master of Israel. You're supposed to be a leader of the Israelites. Jesus expected him, that is Nicodemus, to know the scriptures enough to be saved. But Nicodemus held to the teaching that many who hold government doctrine do. That is, they do not fully comprehend what it is that is the new birth. They may teach a person to be saved, but if you ask them, oh, what are we being saved from? A majority of the people who follow the 501c3 churches will not be able to give you an answer as to what a man is saved from. Thus was the same case with Nicodemus. He did not fully understand the teaching of baptism or being born again. So Jesus in verse 10 marvels and answers his question with a question. You're supposed to be a master of Israel and you don't even know this? Question. Next verse. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and ye received not our witness. So truly, truly it was Jesus Christ said unto Nicodemus. He speaks of what he knows and testifies of what it is that he sees. But ye, speaking of Nicodemus, received not our witness. Why? Because he held to the government doctrine. He held to the teachings of the Pharisees within the temple of Jerusalem. But Christ continues in the next verse. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? Question. It was Jesus Christ who had gone through and explained to them, and told them these quote-unquote earthly things. For example, the earthly things that Jesus had explained to Nicodemus can be found in verse 6. That which is born of the flesh is of flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is of the Spirit. Also in verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. So Christ more or less explains to Nicodemus that because he did not have the ability to grasp the deeper meaning of this teaching, that is, being born again, he explained to him on a very superficial level, saying, as straightforwardly as possible, that which is born of the Spirit is of the Spirit, and that which is flesh is flesh. Can't get any straighter than that. But Nicodemus did not fully comprehend. He was not fully awake, and this is the reason why Jesus Christ says, I've told you these earthly things, and you don't even believe them. How shall ye believe? How will you be able to believe if I tell you of heavenly things, if I tell you of the realm of the supernatural?
Thank you for listening to the Covenant People's Ministry. If you have enjoyed hearing the message of the gospel and would like to be a part of our fellowship or receive monthly newsletters where you can order Pastor Visser's CD sermons, be sure to write to us at CPM, Post Office Box 256, Brooks, Georgia 30205. You can also visit us on the web at covenantpeoplesministry.com, where our extensive audio section features numerous broadcasts. You can easily listen to Pastor Visser by Godcast through your mobile audio device. Our phone number is 404-906-9009. Remember that Jesus Christ is our all and is in all that have been renewed in His Holy Spirit. So we hope that you will allow him to lead your life and help to build his church so that when he returns, he will find faith upon this earth. We urge you to be a living example of Christian faith and apply his words to your lives. It has been a pleasure to have you with us, and now we will return to Pastor Visser's Bible study message.
And thus it stands today. The natural man can only understand the natural things. Or perhaps better put, it requires the leading and the discernment of the Holy Spirit that only Jesus Christ can impart unto those he loves to be able to understand those heavenly things, to be able to understand the deeper things of this word. And perhaps this is where a majority of false dogmas and doctrines come from, dear brothers and sisters, for man's inability to understand what is plainly written. It does not matter how many times the name Jesus Christ graces the pages of the New Testament. It will not stop a man from coming along and inserting his own replacement names like Yehoshua. So, like I've said many times, it is up to us to know these things. But more than just knowing them, we must desire to know them, not begrudgingly, but wholeheartedly. Because if a man is able to desire to know the deeper things of Yahweh God, he will be repentant. He will pray to Yahweh for wisdom, and Yahweh will in turn grant him. It is the humble, it is the teachable who inherit the earth, and they are the ones who can understand the supernatural. Next verse. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that come down from heaven, the Son of Man which is in heaven. So again, this goes back to the point I was making in part 2 of this very series on the Gospel of St. John. In verse 18 of chapter 1, it says, No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared. But here it is that John, that is, St. John, continues in chapter 3, verse 13, by explaining, No man hath ascended up to heaven. Ascended, that is anabino in the Greek. It means to go up of own power, not taken up like was Enoch, Elijah, John, and the Spirit. But the ascension, the very ascension of Christ. Christ ascended and came back before his final ascension to heaven to stay in the same gospel, chapter 20. We'll get to that in the series. But here, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Meaning that Jesus Christ was the only one who had access to the throne of God, who could come and go at will. And this is attested to by the very four Gospels in our New Testament. But no man, meaning no man can come to you and say, well, I took a magical chariot ride to heaven and I saw God and God told me something contrary to his word. No, indeed, dear brothers and sisters. Why? Because no man has ascended up to heaven. Meaning that when the silver cord parts, a man is instantly with Yahweh God. Instantly. They don't rot in a grave. They don't continue to sit in dust. No, dear brothers and sisters. But if man comes and says he's ascended to heaven and came back down, dear brothers and sisters, he's a liar. Because in order for man to see God, they must be in the Spirit. Yahweh God is in the Spirit. We are in the flesh. And it goes back to what Jesus was telling Nicodemus, that he which is born of the flesh is flesh, and he who is born of the Spirit is spirit. Only he who was born of the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, born of it, de facto, can ascend and descend from heaven, dear brothers and sisters. But we who are reborn or rejuvenated within the blood of Christ, reborn within the Spirit, and made partakers of the covenant, dear brothers and sisters, we can only ascend into heaven in judgment. But we should consider, dear brothers and sisters, that chapter 3, verse 13 is relatively early in the Gospel of John, and that this verse proves that Jesus Christ had already ascended when John had written this book. Meaning that verse 12 ends the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus. Jesus' final answer was, You will not believe heavenly things because you cannot believe the things that I tell you that are earthly. You will not believe spiritual things because you do not believe those things that are fleshly, in essence. But John, that is the writer, gives the testimony of the ascension and the reality of the living Christ who is in heaven now. So this was not written as John walked with Jesus. This was written afterwards. And there's a reason for that, dear brothers and sisters, because Jesus Christ it was who commanded them to write these down within a book much later in his ministry. But again, remember that no man hath ascended into heaven. He does not come and go. He, that is man, does not have bold access to the kingdom of God, to the throne of Yahweh. That is, just yet. But why is it that man likes to claim that he has seen God when he has not? Why is it that man likes to claim he has ascended into heaven or been at the throne of God when he has not? Well, as I've pointed out time and time again within the series, dear brothers and sisters, it is the way of man to want to be an instead of Christ, to be revered as a God. So they like to attribute these titles, that is truth, wisdom, law, and the many different names that are attributed to Jesus Christ. The way of apostate man is to claim those titles for themselves. And so knowing that verse 13 begins John's commentary on the word, that is, he continues to explain the crucifixion and how it is we must be born again. So Christians, dear brothers and sisters, must hearken to these verses. Next verse. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Even so. And so that serpent that was on Moses' staff in the Exodus story, way back in the Old Testament, was also a representation of Jesus Christ. And so, again, the way of apostate man is to come along and claim these titles for themselves. And the pharmakia, that is the hospital industry, has an image of a cross with a serpent going up and through it, meaning that they have an image of Moses' staff with the serpent on it as well. But they are the sorcerers. They are the imposters. It is only Jesus Christ who is the true healer and can lead us into wisdom, dear brothers and sisters. And it is wisdom that will explain what it is that we know. Within this testimony of John, to be found within the third chapter, is the most quoted verse of all Christians, dear brothers and sisters. The most quoted verse, period, by those who profess to be Christians, that is, in this modern day apostasy. But we should understand that this is John's commentary. Indeed, it is the Word of God, but it is also John's commentary within the Word of God. But even as man likes to take John 3:16 and twist and skew it to their own agenda, dear brothers and sisters, we will soon see that within context, John 3:16 does not even mean what it is that the majority of the world wants you to think it is. Beginning out in verse 14, it is John who says, as Moses lifted up the serpent, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. Meaning that the reason Moses had to hold the serpent's staff up as long as it was that he did to stay the plagues away from the children of Israel was because that act was a foreshadowing of Jesus Christ. Indeed, it was Moses who struck the rock, and we find out later in the New Testament as well that that rock which fed the children of Israel, which watered them and gave them life, was also Christ. So we must not be fooled, dear brothers and sisters, into falling into the traps of the flesh. Because all of this that John is explaining is in reference to the conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus. And the conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus was between the flesh and the spirit, contrasting the two, proving that they are complete opposites. So John continues his narration and says, so should the Son of Man be lifted up, just like Moses' staff. Verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. That was the reason why there was a crucifixion. The reason for that is because as Moses lifted that serpent on high, dear brothers and sisters, to stay the plagues, that is, the plagues of God, so Jesus Christ should also be lifted up to stay the plagues of Yahweh God. The plagues against the children of Israel. Now, what are these verses saying? Are these verses saying that God is just a loving God? Or are these verses saying that God it was who sent Jesus Christ to be an atonement for man's sins? Meaning that man has atonement by recognizing the deity of Jesus Christ, knowing that Jesus Christ was foreshadowed in the serpent who was lifted up in the wilderness by Moses. Well, straightforward. The reason that the Son of Man must be lifted up, that is, crucified, was so that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Whosoever, meaning whosoever to whom this book pertains. So the way of the false prophet is to come and throw a stumbling block before you and say, well, there it is. It says, whosoever believes in him should not perish. That means anybody, but indeed you and I, dear brothers and sisters, know that is not the case. But finally, here it is, John 3:16, which reads as such, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's the reason why it was that Yahweh God sent Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, was that so whosoever believes in him should not perish, but can inherit eternal life. Why? Because Jesus Christ was the life, the way, the truth, and the life. But it was because of God's love. Who was it that Yahweh God loved within the Old Testament, dear brothers and sisters? Because this is the context of these verses. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, who is that in reference to? Who is that discussing? Again, the children of Israel. So it was that God so loved the world, that is, cosmos, the cosmos or social system, loved this world age, that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now this is the reason and the cause that Jesus was sent. And the reason, that is, the cause that Jesus was sent for, is so that whomsoever believes in him should not perish. Now should is an entirely different word than would. And it is the way of the false prophet to come and insert a W over the S in should, changing the entire meaning of John 3:16. But again, God loved this world, or this cosmos, that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him, that is Jesus Christ, should not perish, but have everlasting or aionios, meaning an unknown time, time out of mind or eternity in the Greek. The same word translated as eternal or eternal life, meaning that life itself is eternal for those who choose to follow the statutes, for those who choose to believe on Jesus Christ. But there's more than just believing he came. It's in believing in who he is, who he represented, or who it is that he became. Jesus Christ was sent because God loved the world, but he was only sent so that man should not perish, meaning that in him was the way, but not everyone will find that way. So the false prophet says, all you got to do is believe. John 3:16, God so loved the world that all you got to do is believe, but in context, and even in reading the verse itself, we can see, dear brothers and sisters, that there is more than belief that is required. But it was for this cause, that Yahweh sent Jesus Christ. The cause was love. God loved the world, dear brothers and sisters. He loves the cosmos, and he loves his Zadok. And it was for that cause that he sent Jesus Christ. Verse 17. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And this is the very reason why whomsoever believeth in him should not perish, but many will. They shouldn't perish because God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but so through him the world can be saved. And all the way back in the law again, that prophecy that was given by Yahweh of the coming prophet, we know that the blood of our transgressions and the blood of our sins, the blood of our atrocities, more specifically, will be required of us through Jesus Christ. meaning that we should hear him. And so it was all the way back on Sinai that Yahweh God says, I will put my words within his mouth, taking any concept of free will away from Jesus Christ. But the reason he sent his son into the world was not to condemn it, meaning krino in the Greek, to judge it. But the next time Jesus Christ is sent into the world, it will be to judge, according to Matthew chapter 16 and Matthew chapter 25. But the first time that Yahweh God sent Jesus Christ was not to judge it, not to condemn it, but through him the world might be saved, meaning it was the last and final chance. The blood of every man is now required. Moreover, the blood of Jesus Christ is now required of those who choose to willingly transgress the law. It was for that cause that Yahweh God sent his Son, not to judge, but to be the propitiation, to be the atonable sacrifice. Verse 18. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. The name. His name means Savior. And anyone who does not believe that Jesus' name means Savior or Anointed cannot be saved. So we must understand that it was Jesus Christ who was sent to save his people. That is the first time. Meaning that we now have the ability to claim the blood of Jesus Christ, to use the anointing blood of Jesus Christ in any number of ways. Verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. So know that this is the condemnation. This is the krisis in Greek, meaning judgment, or the basis of judgment, not the result. But this is why man is condemned. He's condemned because now that light has already come into the world. And even though that light came into the world, that light which is Jesus Christ, the light of all men, men loved darkness. They chose to be lovers of sin as opposed to lovers of righteousness. They chose to be blind rather than see. And this was the cause that God sent Jesus Christ in love to the world, that through him the world might be saved. Should not perish, but many will be condemned. Why? Because men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Meaning that had Yahweh God not made a provision for the coming prophet, the atoner, all the way back at the giving of the law, mankind would have been destroyed. We must understand that Jesus Christ was sent into the world to be a light, and more, that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. This was 2,000 years ago. So the way of apostate man is to tell you, well, essentially everyone's good in heart, but this is not the teaching of the Bible. The Bible says that men, in general, mankind, love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Verse 20, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. And this is the reason why those who dwell in darkness, those who dwell in evil, do not like to be around the children of light. Do not like to be around the Bible or Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit itself, because they are reproved through the light. They're made accountable. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Let's pick it up again next time. This is Pastor Visser wishing you and yours great studies. War for Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this message. We hope that you have enjoyed studying with us. Remember the words that Christ has given, that wherever two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. We hope that you will gather together with us at the online ministry's website, which is covenantpeoplesministry.com, and share your Christian testimonies or ask questions and enjoy biblical fellowship. You can also order CDs of Pastor Visser's Bible studies and enjoy many other Christian resources through the church's website or write to Covenant People's Ministry, Post Office Box 256, Brooks, Georgia 30205. Our phone number is 404-906-9009. Thanks again, and may the love of Christ abide in you and yours forever and ever. Amen.